This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Susie Rong, I can't believe it. You're in the studio with me.
Physically here. I love being in Melbourne. I can't say that enough. It is the most amazing city.
When are you moving?
To Melbourne. I'm not saying that it's better than Sydney. I'm saying that it's just as good as Sydney. I would love to spend more time here, for sure, you know.
I remember once I asked you that question, because we've been doing this for a few years now, and I asked you it, and you said, I can't because of all my lovers. They're all in Sydney.
That was the first time I dropped a clanger on air.
You were testing the waters, weren't you?
I was trying to entertain. Now, look, you know, it's so hard as you grow older, as you understand. It's so hard to start a new kind of circle of friends again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like all my close friends, like my closest friends are from, you know, from my early 20s. And it's a difficult bond to break.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to maintain those bonds. But I definitely should spend more time in Melbourne, which I love so much.
I think you should too. I love having you in the studio. But we get you at least once a year, which is good. So we're thankful for that.
Yeah, I'm thankful to be here.
What brings you down to Melbourne this time?
My Sydney friends Paul Katsis and Dino Dimitriadis are doing a show at 45 downstairs in the city here. It's called De Profundis. It's an Oscar Wilde production. That's something that is based on something that Oscar Wilde had written, and it's not coming to Sydney. So I thought I better come and catch it here because I really admire the work of those two. So the show's running for this week. I think there are a few tickets left, and people should go check it out.
Have you seen it yet?
No, it starts tomorrow, and I'm going to be there tomorrow night.
Oh, are you reviewing it, or are you there as a supporter?
I'm not going to review it. I want to just kind of sit in and really enjoy it. You know, it's a little bit different. The mindset is a little bit different when you're reviewing a show. You're kind of, you try to enjoy it as much as you can, but, you know, definitely a part of your mind, even though you might be really, really experienced. I've done this for more than 10 years, but there's still a part of your mind that's actively working, which takes away from the enjoyment a bit.
Do you get to see many shows to enjoy them, or is it mainly work?
No. I really don't like going to theatres when I'm not working just because I'm doing so much of it. So going to it doesn't, it's really hard for me to feel like I'm enjoying it. Like I don't even go to concerts or anything anymore. Like if Madonna, Kylie, Beyonce come, I'm like, oh, it feels a bit like work. Honestly, so I don't. Just because I'm at the theatre 3-4 times a week.
I'm going to see Lady Gaga. I haven't been to a concert in years.
It's different in Melbourne. You don't have to like travel an hour and a half way out west to see.
Oh, you could an hour to Melbourne. You can come with me. Come and see Lady Gaga.
Oh, she's going to be so great.
Now, Susie, while we've got you here, we love the way you pick everything every week. Is it hard choosing something to watch?
It can be. Because I have to be on top of everything. I'll have to make sure that I'm covering all the important things that are happening. And because there's so many streamers now, it's hard to kind of...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I have to make sure that I know what's going on. So, like, sometimes I'm not able really to make a schedule ahead of time. It needs to be week by week just in case something pops up. But, like, for this week's is an exception.
Oh. Susie, it's a bit of a treat, actually. It's called Emilia Perez. It's on Apple TV and YouTube, isn't it? I watch it on Apple TV. You can stream it. Tell us what you thought of it.
It's been a long time coming. A movie with international repute that is almost completely about a trans experience. Emilia Perez led the field at this year's Academy Awards with 13 nominations, making it one of the most prestigious productions to ever come out of Netflix. The film, however, is not yet available to stream in Australia. You can instead rent or buy it now at all the usual outlets. Emilia Perez tells the story of a Mexican drug cartel leader who undergoes gender transition and in the process fakes her own death, subsequently disappearing into thin air. She returns several years later, trying to reconnect with her wife and children to dramatic effect in this musical crime film. Emilio Perez is an astonishing achievement in many ways, incredibly well-crafted to deliver an intellectually stimulating and action-packed experience that many will find captivating. Strangely, however, it always feels emotionally distant. Characters go through all manner of struggle and anguish, but very little of it is affecting, which is probably part of the reason why it only went home with two awards at the Oscars, one for supporting actress for the always splendid Zoe Saldana, and another for original song, which is also very deserving. I loved all the musical numbers in Emilio Perez. They are highly enjoyable and really impressive with how much inventiveness was put into those scenes. Another reason why the film didn't do so great at the Oscars is the controversies that surrounded the film during award season. The lead actress, Carla Sofia Gascon, was plagued by her own unambiguously racist tweets that had come back to haunt her and to take away a lot of the sheen of what was meant to be a monumental occasion for trans representation. Furthermore, there has been more than a little concern about trans people being characterized as deceptive and Mexicans made to look like criminals in a film written and directed by Jacques Audiard, a man who is neither queer nor Mexican. Activists have said for decades now, nothing about us without us. And in this situation, even though Audiard's intentions are likely noble, it is clear that if the project had involved more trans and Mexican people behind the camera, the result would be more satisfying. Warren, it's nonetheless a spectacular movie, isn't it?
Susie, I've got to admit, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't watch any of the shorts or anything. I didn't read up about it. Excuse me. I just pressed play and sat down and watched it. And, of course, you're watching this drug man with, this big figure, this masculine figure. And I had no idea where the story was going.
You didn't know it was a trans story?
I had no idea. Oh. I did not. I thought it was all about, it was like, what was that, Breaking Bad? I thought it was like that.
Right.
But as soon as it all started, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm absolutely hooked. I had no idea that it was going to go down this direction. I thought it was one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. I loved it so much. It was completely unexpected, the twists, where it went. I noticed I was reading some comments and some people were saying, it was a bit predictable. No, I don't. It wasn't predictable at all. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it's a really dynamic film. I went in with a lot of I would say preconceived notions because it's made so much news and trans people. Some trans people, I won't say many, some trans people have made some noise about it being yet another story about a trans woman being deceptive, using her transition to deceive, right? Because this drug...
But she does do some good too.
She does a lot of good.
Yeah.
But the problem being this drug cartel guy had disappeared and then transitioned. And it almost looked like they had disappeared and kind of disappeared from the law by transitioning. So I think some people took offense to that. So I went to the film a little bit trepidatious, but I thought it was just really, really, really well made. I thought it did have a lot of very sensitive thought into it, but the criticisms are valid.
Do you think he disappeared because of the consequences of going through transition, the consequences it would have on his family? Do you think that's why he disappeared? I mean, obviously, because he would have disappeared. He's not going to go out and say, hey, I'm a drug lord. Let's be open about it. He would have disappeared from that anyway and hid that.
I felt like she transitioned and saw it as an opportunity to get out of the drug business. That was how I interpreted it.
Not so much because she wanted to be her authentic self, or?
I think she wanted to be her authentic self, and then she thought, if I'm going to do this, I might as well take the opportunity to vanish. And then in that process also protect her family, maybe. I don't think it's very well explained. And I think that's part of the problem. There is a lot going on. It's a very busy film. It's very exciting. It's like for your senses are firing the whole time.
The 2 hours go so quickly.
Yeah. But maybe if we had a bit more intimate, gone more intimate with what she was thinking, I'm not sure. I do feel like I was I was really captivated. I found myself at the edge of my seat, but my feelings were a bit untouched.
If you just joined us, we're live in the studio with Susie Rong chatting about Emilia Perez. If you've seen it and you'd like to comment, what are your thoughts? Text us 0427 569 949. Susie, the movie plays with the idea of having to leave your old self behind completely in order to live authentically. How do you relate to that personally? Do you completely leave your entire self behind, or are there parts that you choose to leave behind?
I think it's in terms of gender, I think the experience was very different for me. My transition was really, really gradual. I think I was living gender non-conforming for so many years that when the day came where I don't even know for what reason, it just became that, I'll just move on to the female gender instead of living in this kind of liminal in-between space. It felt like a really gradual thing. I didn't feel like I've had to lose a lot of my past. I do feel, though, like what you've just described is an experience that I had gone through from moving countries.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I felt like in my 20s when I moved countries and I've decided to, the opportunity came up and I decided to take it to become Australian. I felt like I had to, I think what was more honest is to say that I felt like I needed to understand more what this place was about. And in order for me to really, really sink my teeth into what this place was about, it needed me to kind of forget where I came from for a while. And when I say for a while, it was probably 10 years or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you identify there then, therefore, with Emilia in terms of being able to say, you know what, this is an opportunity to get rid of parts of me that I don't want anymore?
I suppose so. I think a lot of trans people would see that because, you know, because her initial presentation was so hyper-masculine and instantly I could see that it was all fake, you know, it was all a ruse, right? That sort of male presentation.
Because she came alive.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I understood that, And there were moments where they were showing quite sensitively how she was at the end of the tether. She wasn't going to be able to do this anymore, which is why she had come to this moment where she was going through some sacrifice. You know, she was extremely powerful, extremely wealthy, and she had to become sort of like an unknown person with a lot less power if she became if she had gone through the transition. So there was a sacrifice involved, but you could see at that juncture where she was going to go through the sacrifice that she had enough. She had a lot of frustration in being this person that she knew was not herself.
Susie, when you go through transition, and if you look at Emilia, I mean, you saw Emilia come to life, and I mean, I wanted to hang out with her. She's an amazing woman, but you could see her, you know, she did go through that period of uncertainty, etc. But then she embraced this energy, and I felt like she was more powerful as a woman than she was before.
My experience is when you become authentically who you are, in my case, you know, becoming, you know, more completely a woman. What happened for me, I think most pointedly was I found it really easy to be generous with people. I found it easy to be a kind person. I don't know whether it is the gender of maleness that prevented me from being more a kind person, or was it that I felt like, you know, I was dishonest and therefore unhappy and therefore unable to give people happiness that I wasn't giving to myself. So I don't know which it was, but I think maybe it is about honesty. It's about when you become comfortable in your own skin, you find a place where you can be relaxed and love yourself, you know, almost like cliche way of framing it. When you can love yourself, you can love other people. Otherwise, it's really hard to love other people.
Do you think there's something that all of us could learn from trans people who've gone through transition, who do become their authentic selves, that the rest of us can learn as well and say, if we become our authentic selves, will we feel that same sense of awe and freedom and happiness.
I think the gender thing is we set an example that's easy to understand, you know, because it feels also because our minds are so binary. We live in worlds that are so binary. So we see this example being set and we think that, oh, she's becoming more authentic. She's becoming closer to what her essence is, who she actually is. But, you know, trans people, like every other person, like even after transition, we still have to find more authenticity. Doesn't mean that because you've moved to the gender that's better for you, doesn't mean that you become a completely authentic person. How do you feel for yourself? Where do you go to find your authentic self?
Well, it's interesting because I think I've been in terribly miserable places in my life doing things that I don't want to do. I mean, radio is what I love doing. Absolutely love it. But I've been in horrible spaces where I've just been on this treadmill, unhappy, and I hated it, and I couldn't get out fast enough. But I noticed I was, I wasn't a nice, I wasn't a nasty person. I've never been a nasty person, but I wasn't as, you're right, as giving, as open to things, as curious, as friendly as I am now. I was more shut down, almost embarrassed of myself.
It's a strange thing when we are unkind to ourselves. You just cannot be kind to other people. It's a strange thing that happens. And when you allow yourself to be authentic and find happiness, find joy and peace, and then you just feel like, oh, I just like being a nice person. I like making connections. Then you can make connections.
Yeah, real connections.
Because when you're fake, it's hard to feel like you're making actual connections with people.
Someone says, hey, Warren, what's the movie you're talking about? What's it called, Susie?
It's called Emilia Perez. I've been practicing all night with the pronunciation.
I've got it wrong. There's something, you know, you were talking about when you moved from Singapore, Susie Rong, and you left certain aspects of your life behind in Singapore. Can you fully escape the, I suppose, I don't know if consequences of your previous life or whatever. That's probably a strong word, but can you fully escape your previous life? Do you need to reconcile things, or can you just pick and choose and say, no, that's coming, that's staying? Because Emilia Perez does reconcile her past, and we won't spoil it, but in a powerful way. When you look at what she did, you think, well, really, it doesn't justify what she did. And of course it doesn't, but at least she's doing something. Did you find that?
My experience was that I had a period where I, you know, the mind is a very powerful thing. Mm. I was able to kind of block things out and imagine myself as being completely from, you know, from this place, from this land, where in fact I wasn't. Mm. But I think I needed to go through that experience of pretending that I didn't have that history to kind of really understand what Australia is like, what Australians are like. And then when I've had a period of that, I felt like, oh, I've got a good grasp of what this is about. I was able to reconcile with the past and see that, oh, those things which I had once thought I wanted to wipe away from my existence, I actually quite like those things. And nobody has the right to tell me to not have those things. So I was able to slowly, gradually bring back those qualities that I'd liked from my previous culture, previous life. And then obviously there are things that from the past that, because the past involves other people, and, you know, there will be reconciliations, that there will be things that some loose ends that you might want to tie up, because those other people have feelings and they make decisions that might affect you, and you shouldn't, you know, I wasn't able to run forever.
We're chatting live in the studio with Susie Rong. It's great having you in the studio.
Such deep conversation.
Emilia Perez, love our conversations. And Steph in Brunswick West says, wanted more time with Emilia adjusting to her new life. It skipped too much. I felt that too. I felt like, I mean, I was in love with the woman. I thought, oh my goodness, I want to hang out. I want to work for this woman. She is really, really good. But we didn't really see it. It went really quickly, didn't it?
It's such a big story. You know, these days we are so used to 8-part TV series, you know, 8-hour stories. And this was a 2-hour film. And even 2 hours these days, we think, oh, can't it be 90 minutes? And you know, and it is a very big story. And I need to give credit to the film for trying to kind of really expand the scope so that we see a very big picture, you know, involving the people around her and, you know, and to some extent that her immediate kind of society around her. Those are important parts of the story. But what you do lose is kind of a lot of the personal stuff. We don't go very personal with her except for her feelings about her children, I think.
Another message coming. Chloe says, Emilia Perez was absolutely stunning. I was glued to the screen.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this, you know, in January, in December, but it was at the cinemas. I thought because it's a Netflix film, it was going to come on Netflix very soon, but it's been months. It still hasn't come on Netflix, so I thought today's a good opportunity as we sit face to face.
Mark in Brunswick loved the wild soap opera energy of it. So over the top, but so heartfelt too. I didn't think it was over the top. Mark thought it was. What do you reckon?
I did think that the musical numbers really felt like
I didn't realise it was a musical.
Until they started singing. Yeah. And I love that they didn't try to make the musical numbers naturalistic. Mm. Each musical number had its own kind of flavor and distinct style. It would jump really wildly into quite a different aesthetic, if you will. And so it made the film feel really rich. And you know, all the awards that it got nominated for and all the other awards that it won are really, really deserving. And I think people should really check it out.
Susie, before we wrap it up, despite all the crime drama, I mean, the heart of the story, it's quite simple, isn't it? A person just wanting to live as themselves. Did you find it emotional?
I didn't find it emotional. I found the characters very distant. I didn't kind of connect with those characters very much. Maybe also because the film was really, really busy. I found my head really, really busy, which I enjoy. Mm. I like films, stories that make my mind go a lot. It'll be good if my emotions are engaged as well, but I don't feel like it needs to do both. In this case, I was very intellectually satisfied.
I wasn't emotional. I mean, I cried anything, but I wasn't emotional at all watching it, but I was just loving it. It was just entertaining, great. 2 hours flew by. It's called Emilia Perez. You can find it at your streaming services. Susie, I love having you in the studio. What are we watching for next week?
For the first time, we're checking out Tubi, the free streaming platform, for a documentary called Jemel and Tim about a recent tragic episode of gay history that few of us in Australia know. It's a very informative watch. So check out Jemel and Tim on Tubi. And I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.